¡Órale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. Oh, Familia, can you hear it? Can you feel it? Can you smell it? Football is back. Football is back. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited that, you know, our invitado is joining us today. So before I jump into it, I want to make sure you're following us, Familia FFP, on YouTube. Make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You're getting great content like what you're about to have right now. We're going to break down we're going to break down several of the games for week one. So also make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code Familia23. You're going to get $100 on top of the first $100 you deposit. So you're going to play pick'em games, everything like that. So get in there with underdogfantasy.com. And Familia, I tell you that I'm just so utterly pumped for this show right now, because when I was in Canton, Ohio, one of the people that I actually got to spend quite a bit of time with and actually get the bond with was our special guest, our invitado right here. So you know what? When it came down to when I asked him to be on this show, he said this week would be it. I thought, perfect. We're going to say bienvenido to the NFL season with fantasy football coming back. So, you know, with our invitado, we talked football, we talked the fantasy industry, we talked living life, living in LA, leaving LA. We talked food, especially, and dogs, lots of dog talk. So now I consider him a compadre, a buen amigo. So, you know, his incredible work on Reception Perception. And by the way, shout out to James Coe, his co-host. And he's my colleague. I'm proud to call him my colleague at YouTube, at Yahoo Fantasy. Familia, bienvenido to El Gran, Matt, Mateo Harmon. Matt, welcome. Gracias for joining us.
Hey, Jorge, all the feelings are mutual, man. I consider us to be total buds now that after we met IRL in Canton. But I mean, listen, you ran the gamut there, right? Like football, food, dogs, that's what a family. What else is there in life? So, I mean, yeah, I really enjoyed getting to meet you, man, and working with you at Yahoo so far, you know, being on the podcast, referencing your work in the Blueprint article. I'm so glad that we have been able to make this connection. And maybe even equal excited that fantasy football is back, that football is back, man. I can't believe, like, I don't know how you feel about week one generally, Jorge, but it's weird because we're still sort of talking in these hypotheticals, right? I mean, everything we do is hypotheticals. We're trying to project the future. We're trying to talk about things that will happen and then reacting to things that do happen. But, you know, after tonight, we're going to be able to talk about things in a, hey, this is what happened on Thursday night, and then this is what happened on Sunday, and let's try to project that to the future. This is kind of our last few hours here of living in the hypotheticals of the offseason, so I'm very gassed up to talk with you today.
Yeah, I just love getting those answers of just, you know, what did we get right? What didn't we get right? And could we have seen that? So it's just, the excitement is just so there. Is there, you know, obviously tonight we've got, we're not going to preview this game, the game being the Lions at the Chiefs, but is there any storyline that you're going to be looking for this game tonight?
Look, it will be for me what happens, you know, whether Travis Kelce or not, like what happens with the Chiefs receiver core. You know, I'm a big Sky Moore guy. I was talking to James yesterday on the Reception Perception podcast, you know, about like if Sky Moore goes out of here and has like a 5-catch-for-48-yard game, I'm going to be super disappointed. Like I want the big reveal on Thursday night, on the season opener, to be like, okay, the little breadcrumbs we've been following all off season. Like this is a guy that's going to be a clear cut starter. Mahomes is excited. I like the player's profile coming into this year. I think his rookie year was a developmental year and that's totally excusable. So that's really a storyline that I'm looking forward to tonight.
And it so much is, I mean, yeah. And I've been with you on Sky Moore so much since I heard on I don't know if I told you this, but last year on the New Heights podcast with the Kelce brothers, Mahomes came on and he could not stop talking about Sky Moore's work ethic. And to me, that when a teammate, and not just a teammate, but the superstar is calling out someone.
Teammate.
Exactly. And he's calling out his work ethic as being exemplary. And then I heard it again, how he was at every workout, every off-season workout, even the ones that he had in Texas. That to me, hey, I've been taking a lot of chances on Sky Moore. So yeah. I want to see how the running back share is going to happen with the Lions. So that one has me so intrigued. Is Jahmyr Gibbs going to be kind of like a more souped up version than DeAndre Swift last year?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. I mean, honestly, both running back rotations a little bit too. Same thing in Kansas City, but definitely Detroit.
Oh man. So, so I thought it'd be fun, you know, for the two of us to kind of jump into about five games that are happening. So, you know, we already talked a little Lions Chiefs, but before that, I did have kind of a fun, fun question. What's your excitement meter for tonight? Are we at Randy Moss 1998 rookie year levels?
If you're not at a 10, what are you doing? Like, I mean, come on. And especially because we have two ultra intriguing teams. I mean, obviously the Chiefs are must see TV every single week. And there's so many storylines around them, right? Like Chris Jones is not going to play because of the contract holdout, but apparently he's going to show up to the game to be there for, you know, the Super Bowl celebration. I mean, talk about juicy. You know, Travis Kelce again coming into this game banged up. I tend to think he doesn't play, but and even that adds to the drama level. And then for the Lions part of it, yo, the Detroit Lions, like we used to complain about them playing on Thanksgiving every year, and now they're opening the damn season, Jorge. So like, and they've got fascinating players across the offensive side and defensive side of the ball. So if you're not at a 10, man, what are you doing? I'm totally at a 10 here in terms of excitement level.
Oh man. Yes. I even made some special, since I'm lactose intolerant, I made some special, homemade yogurt so that I could, make a special cheese sauce. That's
nice.
That's gonna be, it's gonna be on tonight. So I'm gonna take a look. I wanted to see if we could take a look at five games that are going to be Sunday games, because games that, you know, obviously the Thursday night game, has so much information, so many eyeballs on it, but I want to take a look at first Dolphins at Chargers, which is a game that has the second biggest over/under in this weekend at 51 points. And it's kind of like when you look at this game they played last year, the Chargers really beat up the Dolphins. Tua did not have a big game last year, so it's kind of like, can the Dolphins figure out how to beat the Chargers, which sometimes the offenses beat the defenses early in the season?
Yeah, no, that's a great point about the offensive defensive sort of push and pull there early in the season. We just recorded the week one preview with TJ Hernandez for the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast, so that'll be out tomorrow. And I told TJ I think this is going to be the biggest narrative defining game of the week one schedule, because there's and on both sides too, because you mentioned last year, I think the narrative around the Dolphins is that as long as Tua is out there, this offense is a top five unit, and maybe it is, but people forget that there was a moment there in the second half of the season where they sort of hit a speed bump, right? Against the 49ers the week before, but especially against this Chargers defense on Sunday Night Football. You know, Brandon Staley, to the point that even Mike McDaniel in press conferences now has started to get a little like, oh, the Brandon Staley plan. I've heard a lot about the Brandon Staley plan. But I think he did put together a very good game plan to sort of take away those RPO plays that they really like, to take away the middle of the field. So I think if the Dolphins come out and go crazy in week one, the narrative might be, wow, they've solved sort of the defensive counterpunch to their offense. And on the flip side there, what's the one thing we've talked about so much with the Chargers offense this offseason? Is Kellen Moore going to get this passing offense to push the ball downfield more? We might get a big test of that in week one, buddy, because, you know, these two high structures, the Vic Fangio style defenses, have been important, have been critical to defenses shutting down the vertical pass game, shutting down the deep pass game. Well, what did the Dolphins go out and do in the offseason? They didn't get like the, you know, Walmart version, the knockoff version, the great value version of the Vic Fangio defense. They went and got Vic Fangio, right, himself, the godfather of the whole thing. So I think the offensive-defensive matchups in this game, I mean, obviously, like, it's a start your guys type of game in fantasy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you to not play any of these dudes in the pass game. But I think coming out of it, this will be a very big narrative defining game from the week one slate.
No, I love it. I hope the I think the Chargers are going to have take some more shots this year. I mean, starting this week, because I think they're going to have to, because Jalen Ramsey being out in this game, I think is going to be really, really big for a big opportunity. And Justin Herbert, oh man. And I was listening a little bit with what you were talking about with in Eckler's edge, and I could sense how pumped up he is and how much he wants to help you in the Eckler invitational. So
well, I need him, you know. I need him. I'm gonna be in his DMs like all those other knuckleheads, like, yo man, I need you this week. So yeah, he's got to come through for me. I mean, he has to.
Familia, make sure do not go into players' DMs, please. If you want to complain to me, come to plan me, okay? Complain to me if you don't like who I recommend or something like that. And so, oh man, I love it. Yeah, no, I love the breakdown of this game. It's just nothing short of it. This is going to be fun, and I think on the fast track at SoFi Stadium, they're just going to be there's going to be so yeah. much goodness. So I want to jump into 49ers at Steelers. So we got on the one side, we got Brock Purdy with the elbow, you know, coming back from the elbow surgery. And is he still able to unleash this offense with so many incredible playmakers? And on the other side, Kenny Pickett. And I know you've been, the lead member of the Kenny Pickett, Marchi and Chowder Society, the year two breakout. I'm with you. There's always got to be a year two breakout. My money's on him against this great 49er defense. I love this game, and it does not have a very high over under at 41 points with the 49ers 2.5 point road favorites.
Yeah, like you said, I've been big on the Steelers offense sort of taking that next step this year. And obviously, I love the 49ers offense. You know, the Brock Purdy, we'll see what his performance is, if it's stable year over year. But, you know, I'm a big Ayuk guy. I think Debo's in the prime of his career. McCaffrey obviously is who he is. And, you know, George Kittle coming in this a little banged up. So that is worth noting. But I think this could be another game very overreaction heavy. Coming out of week one, right? Oh, because yeah. These are two offenses that we really like, or at least, I mean, I like the Steelers offense. I'm glad to hear that you're with me too. Not everybody does, but I think that we could, if you've been in on the Steelers offense and if they don't have a big game against the 49ers defense, which gets Nick Bosa back right in the nick of time to start the season, you got to be a little patient here, because again, this is one of the best defenses in the NFL. And on the flip side, same thing, honestly, with the Steelers, man. This Steelers defense, they have a little more holes. Like they signed, you know, Patrick Peterson to start potentially a cornerback for them after losing Cam Sutton to the Detroit Lions. That's not like an ideal solution at this point with it, that where Patrick Peterson is. You know, they'll have a rookie corner in Joey Porter Jr. You know, that secondary can certainly be had, but the dudes they got up front with TJ Watt and the fellas, like, that, you know, Cam Hayward is still doing it. He's still doing it at a high level. So this could be a very low scoring game, a very defensive heavy game. So while I like guys like Ayuk in this game, again, going against that secondary that has some inexperience, that they're going to try to play some man coverage, I think Ayuk can have a big game in this one. Again, if you don't get a big performance out of all your guys in this one, I think this is going to be a you know, be patient with this, both of these offenses against these defenses.
1 of the things that I remember from last year for the 49ers is defensively, if they got beat, they never got beat against the run. They got beat with the pass. I mean, Jarrett Stidham lit them up late in the season. So that's where I think Deontay Johnson or George Pickens could be getting loose. I mean, maybe this is a Pickens breakout game, because he's such a big physical receiver. And could you see that happening with him?
Yeah, and like last year, it all kind of culminated actually in the first round of the playoffs, right? Where one thing I was making the point on the podcast late last year was, you're right, they could be had via the pass, especially perimeter outside receivers. And we know DK Metcalf didn't help the Seattle Seahawks win that game. You know, things really, the dam broke open in the second half, 49ers, Seahawks in the playoffs last year. But Metcalf had that big game as that outside perimeter X receiver. Well, George Pickens is definitely going to be the perimeter X receiver in this offense this year. Not a guy that needs a ton of separation to make big plays, but I think he's pretty underrated as a route runner on the line, like coming off the line of scrimmage. He's very good against press coverage. The 49ers are going to try to play you physical and play you press. But at the same time, this is another team with a new defensive coordinator. You know, Steve Wilks comes over from Carolina, replaces D'Amico Ryan. So we don't totally know if there's going to be a ton of changeover with between those defensive schemes. But regardless, yeah, I think that if you're going to get the 49ers somewhere, it's probably going to be with a big vertical perimeter receiver, which, you know, Deontay can get open on the outside 100%, but it's probably going to be Pickens in this game.
Oh man. So well, let's neighboring state. Let's go to the Battle of Ohio. Bengals at Browns. So Joe Burrow, Joe Shiesty, he's back and let's see how back he is. I mean, I think everybody wants to see him running without a limp or something like that.
Yeah.
But is that enough time to just kind of, jump in and, take the wheel of this Ferrari and start throwing to Jamar Chase like crazy, and maybe helping with that bold prediction that I made that's going to come out pretty soon. And then on the other side, Deshaun Watson, that's been mixed reviews during preseason games. Could we see a low scoring game, or because the Browns just seem to have had Joe Burrow's number, that he's 1-4 against them lifetime.
Yeah, and these are two teams that I can think we know who the fantasy guys are in this offense, yeah. Right? Like on both offenses. You know, the Bengals, it's the two receivers, it's the running back, it's the quarterback. You know, again, we'll see where he is from a health perspective, but if you have Joe Burrow, you're playing him. And then even on the Brown side too, you're definitely playing Nick Chubb, you're definitely playing Amari Cooper. I don't know that I want to play almost anybody else from this game. I mean, even on the Brown side of it, I like Elijah Moore a lot, but I want to kind of see what the role is. Yeah. You know, the Bengals defense, a little bit of turnover, but still a very well-coached unit that typically has great plans against elite quarterbacks. We don't even know if Watson is anywhere close to that at this point, right? So even Watson, a guy who people drafted, is like the QB9 in single-digit rounds. I like Geno Smith better this week. You know, yeah. I like guys like Kirk Cousins better this week. So there are maybe some alternatives that you can look at there. So this game really, to me, is kind of straightforward from like, who do you start? But it's going to be one of the most important games to watch on the Brown side. Where does Watson stand? Is Elijah Moore a full-time player? Does DPJ hold a big role for this team still? David Njoku, what's his target distribution look like with an upgraded receiver room here? So wouldn't say I'm like loving playing a bunch of Browns in week one outside of the two obvious guys, but very important, I think, to track this game.
Yeah, I think, when you were talking about kind of like defining what, kind of storylines going forward and narratives going forward, I think Watson is the one who's going to be telling so much of the story. I mean, if he throws 180 and he throws three picks, it's just going to open everything up from the last year. But then all of a sudden, hey, you know what? If he throws for 350 and three touchdowns, then all of a sudden, everything from preseason gets washed away. So it's amazing. And by the way, yeah, Familia, make sure to check out the bold predictions on Yahoo Fantasy. So you could see I have a bold prediction involving.
Oh, I saw it. And I like it.
Oh man. So I'm pumped for it. Well, we're going to stay in the Midwest. And another knockdown drag out game, Packers at Bears. Shout out to all our Bears faithful that we know, both Andy Behrens and Jason Klobaka, and on the Packers side, amigo Pat Fitzmaurice and Kevin Tompkins and so many others. This is all about the quarterbacks, right? Jordan Love And then you got and Justin Fields. Do they are they for real? Do they take the next step? I mean, and is Justin Fields this year's Jalen Hurts, who was last year's Josh Allen?
Man, Jorge, I think this game could be over in like 2.5 hours. You know, one of these like it's over because these teams are going to run the ball a ton, I think, in this game. You know, obviously, number one, on the Packers side, they've been a relatively run-heavy unit generally, but they also might be missing Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs yes. to start the season, you know, to start week one. Neither of these guys have practiced so far this week. I mean, we'll see the final practice report on Friday, but for now, that could be pretty problematic. And at that point, then your next two top targeted players are likely two rookies in Jaden Reed, who I'm a huge Jaden Reed fan, but like this is gonna be his first NFL game. Can he handle like 8 to 10 targets in this game? You know, Luke Musgrave is gonna have a full-time role as the starting tight end. He is another rookie. So I think this game is gonna be all about putting the ball in AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones's belly again and again and again and again. And shoot, that is what the Chicago Bears also want to do. And it makes sense when you look at Green Bay's defense has typically been a run funnel defense. They were 31st last year in rushing success rate allowed. So the Bears want to run the ball. I think it's going to be a big Khalil Herbert game. You know, I'm excited to see the Justin Fields, DJ Moore connection, but I'm not sure we're going to see it at like the peak of its powers in this one, or at least not a lot of high volume, right? And it's a tougher matchup with some of those secondary players led by Jair Alexander in Green Bay. So this to me is going to be a very, very running back heavy game.
Okay. So we're expecting if people are watching this game, they're going to be able to out here on the West Coast, they're going to be able to eat their lunch early. So,
Yeah. You'll be good. You'll be good with this one. Like it'll be one that's over like, shoot, you know, this thing's just like, it's not even 4 o'clock on the East Coast and it's already over.
So one question. So this is kind of previewing the next section after the next game that we talk about. Jaden Reed, would you start him this week?
I think you got to be in a pretty deeper format. But again, shoot, who else is going to lead the team in maybe Aaron Jones? Like, are they going to throw the ball to Aaron Jones 8 times? Like, I think he'd be in a pretty good spot. And I will say this for Jaden Reed. There's a reason that he has just like kind of run away with the slot receiver job in Green Bay. The guy's a pro. He's a pro level, pro ready route runner. Like, he's a guy who knows how to get open and get separation. And I think he's got a pretty dramatic flair for big plays as well. So, I mean, would I definitely want to be starting him? No, but if he's, you know, if Watson and Dobbs are not out there, I think he's worth kind of that flex consideration. In, you know, I think you probably have to be starting like 4 like receivers or something like that, but he would be in consideration in that type of format.
Yeah. And by the way, I think a lot of people have been subscribing to Reception Perception, because I can't tell you how many times I got sniped in drafts for Jaden Reed. So, yes. A lot of people are listening, reading everything. So last one, it's the, huh?
Let's hope.
But definitely. Last game, Cowboys at Giants, and this one's the quarterbacks. Are they really going to go establish the run, or are they going to unleash Dak Prescott against a defense that could get beaten? And then on the other side, Danny Dimes, does he take the step forward with guys like Waller and some other improvements in the passing attack?
Yeah, last year, you're right about the Giants defense, 24th in rushing success rate allowed, 11th in dropback success rate allowed. So they were a little bit there, and they're kind of a funny pass defense too, because Wink Martindale is so unlike what most defensive coordinators do. Like I said, most defensive coordinators now are, you know, they're sitting back, they're too high shells. Wink is not that guy. He's heating quarterbacks up. He can bring the blitz, he's going to play man coverage, he's going to get after it, right? He's a very old school style of defensive coordinator. So there could be opportunities for a guy like Brandon Cooks, single high coverage, single coverage on the outside, you know, to make big plays in this one. He's a new addition. Obviously, we like CeeDee Lamb. But still, you know, again, if you're going to get the Giants defense based on what they did last year, they would be they would be able to get over on them from a rushing game perspective. So I think this is a really nice season debut for Tony Pollard, but I still expect the passing game guys to get theirs. And then lastly, I really like this, this as sort of a discovery moment for the Giants receivers. I don't know that I want to be playing and get after the quarterback. Like Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes was able to avoid some of those mistakes last year. He could get baited into a few mistakes here in week one. You know, if you drafted Darren Waller, you're probably playing Darren Waller. And then on these receiver guys, I don't think where there's enough clarity yet. I think the starting three will probably be Hodgins at X, Slayton as the speed flanker, and Paris Campbell as the slot. But those roles are going to rotate a lot, and I could see those guys rotating a lot as well.
Yeah, and is Waller just going to be the clear, even with those guys, is Waller going to be the clear, just the number one target on this one? If he gets 10 targets, people are just going to go ballistic. They're going to go nuts. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's going to be so much victory lapping going on out there. So, and hey, and please, and that's everybody wanted. Let's see him healthy, and you know, let's see him healthy. Let's please see him healthy. All right, so I thought it'd be fun since you just really dive into the wide receiver position. I thought it'd be fun to go into the five rookie wide receivers, and I kind of teased it a little bit with the Jaden Reed question. I got five wide receivers that are rookies. I want to see start sit. I'm going to start with Jordan Addison. And coincidentally, they're all at home. So I picked them, and then I realized, oh, they're all at home. But Jordan Addison home against the Buccaneers. I think it's kind of tempting to start him.
It is. He's actually my favorite of the group here from a week one perspective. Just think he's got the clearest cut role from an every down, every route type of player in week one. You know, his player prop over under on BetMGM is 38.5 receiving yards. Give me the over on that one here. That seems way too low for Jordan Addison in week one. I think Addison against Tampa Bay, you know, this defense typically has been more of a pass funnel. They've been weaker against the pass, and they have been the run the last few years historically under Todd Bowles. So I think this Vikings offense is going to get off to a nice start, and I just think it will be Jordan Addison as the clear number two receiver in this offense, and, you know, kind of competing for targets there with TJ Hawkins. So I if you need a receiver three, you need a flex, I think Addison is in consideration this week.
So this next one, I have a lot of teams with Zay Flowers, kind of like as my top reserve, that, you know, kind of like and there are a few of them where I'm kind of like on the fence on starting him. Now, I know Houston was very good against the pass last year, and or was it just because they were so bad against the run? But but Zay Flowers, I know he's someone you liked.
Yeah, big fan of Zay Flowers. I think that these Ravens receivers, it's a little tough here in week one. I think if you're in a deep, like, again, start three, four receivers, I think Odell is the guy you can play, because I think he's the one who I feel the most confident is going to be a full-time player in week one. I'm not sure who's going to be the guy that loses out in two receiver sets between Bateman and Flowers. Like, could it be Flowers because he's the rookie, or could it be Bateman because he hasn't been healthy all offseason?
Right.
And dude, I like both of these Ravens receivers. Honestly, all three of them I really like this year. I told people, I want you to take one Ravens receiver in your draft, because I think this offense it wasn't being priced correctly based on the change that's going to happen with Todd Monken. That being said, not only was Houston good against the pass last year, I think if you look at their depth chart this year, Derek Stingley could take a jump. Jalen Petrie could take a jump. You know, they bring in Will Anderson to boost the pass rush unit. Jerry Hughes is still getting it done from a pass rush perspective. Sheldon Rankins is kind of an interior pocket pusher. I think they will be very similar to last year, where they're pretty bad against the run, but pretty good against the pass. So I think this is going to be a big J.K. Dobbins week in week one, and I'd probably not start many of these Ravens receivers this week.
All right. So we're going to pause a week on the Lamar Jackson breakout. So we'll wait on.
Well, that shoot. One. I mean, he could, if we're talking about bad run defense, he could do some of that damage.
Yeah. Yeah. He could go for 150 just by himself, you know, on like three runs, and then just forget about it. We talked about this game. We didn't talk about this player, Quentin Johnston, against the Dolphins. I think you kind of teased a little bit on this on Eckler's edge.
Right.
Without, so please.
Yeah. Austin and I've definitely been, you know, preaching patience with these rookies, even Quentin Johnston specifically. I mean, a lot of the talk out of training camp is that Josh Palmer, a guy who, you know, I wouldn't say Josh Palmer is like a future star or anything like that in the league. I think he's probably at best as a three, but I think he could open the season as the starting number three receiver for the LA Chargers. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Quentin Johnston runs something like 15, 20 routes in this game. And that would just not be enough really to be like in your week one starting lineup, especially because this is, again, a defense that's probably going to try to take away some of what they want Quentin Johnston to do, which is take the top off the defense. So I don't think you could really play Quentin Johnston with much confidence in week one.
I without hearing it the way you just did, I it was exactly the way I thought you would have broken it down. The next one, this one's for Andy Behrens, Marvin Mims against the Raiders. The Raiders, who were a very forgiving defense last year, both run and the pass. What are your thoughts on him, especially with Jerry Jeudy questionable? And I mean, so many injuries hitting that receiving room.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy might end up playing. He's the guy that I think really struggles to play through injuries and play consistently through injuries. So even if he's out there, I think Mims has a chance to play a ton. Again, I would feel better about him if Jeudy wasn't out there. But even if he is, I think Mims is a guy that's going to get like a few vertical looks a game. Could be sort of that hammer flex, right? The hammer wide receiver three, where he's volatile, but he could end up having those type of big plays as well. And you mentioned it, the Raiders last year, 29th in passing success rate allowed. I'm just very skeptical about the Denver pass offense overall. I've been pretty skeptical of them for 2 years straight now, and that's been going well. It went well last year. We'll see how it goes this year. I think they're going to run the ball a ton. I like Samaje Perine if you're desperate at running back to potentially throw him out there. But yeah, if you need sort of that like Hail Mary wide receiver three and you can live with some of the volatility, I do think Mims is in play this week.
Oh, I like that one. Last one. He's back at practice. Jackson Smith and Jigba, JSN, going against the Rams secondary. That, I mean, that whole defense is almost new except for Aaron Donald. But the secondary definitely is going to have could have some holes in it. Possibly a number three receiver.
Yeah, you know, I think he's going to play, but I don't know that he's going to have the full-time role that we're expecting. When he has that full-time role, I think he's going to be a very crucial like slot receiver for the Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, Pete Carroll notoriously not really trustworthy with the injury report. So, I mean, not, shock. We're getting kind of a mystery injury situation from the Seahawks here. So I think JSN plays, but I don't think he plays enough to really be like a receiver three for you this week. I'm going to give it 1 week with the JSN hype train, but also like how, I mean, they're playing the Rams defense. I know there's not a lot of like household names. Let's put it that way. Let's be nice about it on the Rams defensive side of the ball. I'm just not sure they're going to need to put up a ton of points for will the Seattle Seahawks to beat the LA Rams this week.
Yeah, probably not. One thing I don't think I shared with you before, Greg Bell of the Tacoma News Tribune, when I sat down with him before the season, he talked about one thing specifically that JSN was doing was just catching the ball away from his body. Mm-hmm. And in a way that he said he's covered the Seahawks for a long time. He said he saw JSN doing in training camp things that like catching the ball away from his body that Doug Baldwin wasn't doing until his fourth season.
Yeah.
And yeah. So that to me just was like, oh man, I was over the moon for JSN on that. And then hearing your talk on him. So, oh yeah, I'm pumped. Oh, you almost got me kicking COVID on this one. yeah, maybe, so I'm almost there. Last one. So I know you just made the cross country trip and definitely adapting. I know we talked about missing some Mexican food back in LA. Have you found a go-to place yet and if so, a favorite dish yet there?
Yo, it's just not the same, man. It's just not the same. It will never be the same. You just gotta change your expectations, right? There's great like seafood here. There's a lot of good places to eat here in Virginia Beach, 100%. I will say, the one spot I've been to so far, there's a couple good places here, like Las Palmas, I think does a really good job, from a Mexican food standpoint. Jose Tequila, which is actually the place that like my mom, you know, I was living out of her condo for a while. Uh-huh. Her condo's here, and literally Jose Tequila is like the bottom floor there. I used to joke that like on the podcast with Andy. I'm like, dude, I won't be doing this podcast with you as much as I like podcasts with you. I could like jump off the balcony here at my mom's condo and like I'd probably sprain an ankle, but I wouldn't, you know, die. And I'd be this, like I'd have a margarita in my hand like that, you know. Those boys will take care of you well there, 100%. I think their carnitas are very good there, so I will give them a shout out for that. But yeah, it's not quite the same from a you got to hunt, like I said, for those two places, pretty good. But it's not just everywhere like it is in LA, man. Yeah, my wife is actually in New York right now for work. And she's like, I'm just getting Asian food every single day while I'm here because the comparison is nothing. But I will say, luckily, you know, my wife, she's from Argentina. Her family is she's a second generation immigrant from Argentina. So we're actually supposed to be doing our big Argentinian cookout, me and her. Luckily, we're both big home cooks. So, you know, when we have that craving for Mexican food, it is not. Right. It's not my culture. Right. Maybe I'll need to give me some tips, but I think we stand up pretty good from a home cook perspective. So when we have our big, whether it's our Mexican night cookout, our Argentinian feast cookout, I hope we got to do the work ourselves, basically, is what I'm saying here.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes that's the best. And yeah. You know what? I'm going to share a couple things with you. I got Mama Martin's carne asada marinade.
Please do.
So, because it's still going to be grilling season for a little while. So, yes, yeah, the marinated for at least overnight. Oh, beer is one of the key ingredients. So, yes, it's gonna be good. And for later, I'm gonna share an albóndiga soup for you for when it gets cold. So that's
my wife loves a soup. So, you know, there is a place. Sazel down the street from us in El Segundo had like the best pozole soup, and that was just like that was her favorite. So if I can do anything, if we can do anything that can even compete with that, if you can help us out, man, we would appreciate it.
The albóndiga soup will, and you can, and I don't think that, thinking off the top of my head, yeah, it's not hard to find ingredients, so it's gonna be good. I'm gonna take care of you guys. So well, no greater authority than Bo McBrayer, who's also the king of spice, who's also very much a chef in himself. He made it, and he's just like, he gave it the chef's amazing kiss himself. So, oh, mi amigo. All right, let's go get ready for some football. Please pump anything, any and everything.
Yeah. Hopefully by the time people are listening to this, you know, you can maybe still catch Yahoo Fantasy Football Live is going to be every Thursday now. So maybe you miss it this week, but you can catch it every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch it on the Yahoo Sports website. You can watch it on the app. You can watch it the fantasy app. You can watch it on YouTube. You're already here on YouTube, so you can check us out there on the Yahoo Sports YouTube page and the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. Jorge is a guest sometime on the show. I got to get him one of these Thursday preview spots, buddy. No problem. I will be hitting you up soon for that. So definitely make sure to check that out. And, of course, receptionperception.com for all of my wide receiver work. We have three tiers of subscriptions, and I'm doing a ton of in-season charting this year as well. So would love for people to check that out.
Oh yeah, RP, and make sure you're following the podcast too, because he and James Coe just kill it. James Coe, my guy from the panel we were on at FSGA back in February, so which actually helped led to me becoming your Yahoo colleague. So oh man, mi amigo, this has been un gran placer. Muchas gracias for doing this, familia. Let's go get ready for some football. So make sure, again, you're giving us a like and subscribe. Familia FFB on YouTube. Hit it up. And also, underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code FAMILIA23. You're going to get $100 on top of the first $100 you deposit. Otra vez, Matt, Mateo, muchas gracias. Oh, if you want this on audio, just go to Spotify for podcasters, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. So, and look for my content. You've got some stuff. I've got some stuff coming out on Yahoo all over the place. So muchas gracias otra vez, Matt. Muchas gracias to you for joining us. Let's get ready for some football.
Let's do it.
Salud.